trouble with math. Just remember that 5 out of every 4 people do. And we're delighted to be here. Jack and I have, and RT normally, of course, is with us, but he cannot, and we're thrilled for Leif to be with us tonight. So,
tell us about your family.
I want them to come up. Seal, Buddy, David, you all come. I want you, first of all, to meet my wonderful daughter, Cecile. She got all of her good looks from her dad and all of her modesty. I'm the shy one. At any rate, and Buddy or Neil, her husband, Cecile and Neil McGuire. David, step here. This is David Ray that I met on the floor of a meeting in Tennessee 20 years ago. He was curled up and vibrating. And the Holy Spirit said, go back to him. And I did, knelt to pray. And then the most wonderful word, the Holy Spirit said, take him under wing. Speak into his life spiritually, fatherly, educationally. And it's been an awesome, awesome trip. That's 20 years ago. Anyway, and Cecile and Buddy, where's another mic? Is there one? No. This dear girl is teaching now. We were at a meeting in Columbia, Tennessee. Columbia, South Carolina. There is one in Tennessee. A week ago, share a quick word about the sign up.
Well, okay. One thing, we are expanding the ministry. It's a ministry actually that Dad has been involved in for many years, which is a ministry to people who have been through trauma. Mm. And we are discovering that there are so many people who fall on the spectrum of trauma, from the ones that we've known about that had severe trauma all the way to the ones here on the spectrum at the other end who are functioning and amazingly well and are seemingly exceptionally successful in every way, but in some ways inside, because maybe simple things like performance orientation or legalism, things that we haven't realized that could be damaging, that these people sometimes feel slightly disconnected within themselves and feel like they have to perform or they're pressured. And people like that can be, even though they look successful, they need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing like it was talked about this morning. And the Lord is doing an amazing work to bring all of us into the place of wholeness.
Come on.
With his shalom peace, that his word peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. And the word sozo means wholeness. And then the word rapha means to stitch back together. Mend by stitching that together so that he can make us whole. And so the whole Bible is about that. So we want to encourage you to connect with us on Facebook at Charles Caron and also on his website, charlescaron.com.
All right. Bless you.
Frida, come here. Frida, this is my third wife. I love to say that to a religious crowd.
Frida. Come, sweetheart.
This is Frida. Yes. Just say hi to people. You can sit right here and there.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
I may not be smart, but I am obedient. And I really believe it's obedience that really counts. Our smartness is nothing compared to the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And he requires, rather than sacrifice, he wants us to be obedient to him, to his word, and listen to his Holy Spirit continuously. So I'm so thankful that we were here tonight, that we are here again with you all. Gosh, this place is crowded. You all must be hungry. Anybody hungry in this house? There is more. There is always more. So thank you for coming out to support these precious, precious men of God. They are kingdom people, and I'm just delighted to be here. Thank you. God bless you.
Here. I'll take it. All right. Yes.
Late. You've had a day with this great church. What do you think?
I'm in love.
Don't run off, Charlie. Let him go.
All right. Buddy, wait.
One of you. Three of you. He may be old, but he's slow. Charles, you know how many of these we've had since 2001. This is the 89th
conference.
Wow.
Amen. And I tell you, they have all been astounding, all been amazing, because we have seen the Holy Spirit bring individual lives back together. That's what it's all about. It's not having a motivational meeting to pump up a church. No, it's for the Holy Spirit to minister to everyone in the audience. And where there is woundedness, where there is need of restoration, where there's need of forgiveness, or whatever it is, for the power of God to come on us and do it. And we've seen that happen in every one of these 89 conferences.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, look. Look at our coats, our shirts. These are gifts from this man, the givenest man we know. And listen, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I have to be, I'm telling you the honest truth, I am embarrassed to wear them. But they make me. My puritanical days are over.
Bless your heart. You're so sweet. Lead us in prayer.
And let's just stand up and just, let's just honor his presence. Father, we just want to remind you that you are a good, good Papa.
Oh, God, yes.
And we're just so overwhelmed, each one of us, how much we are loved by you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you took our sin, so now we are righteous. You took our shame, so that we are glorified. You took our sicknesses and diseases, so by your stripes, we are healed. I thank you, Jesus, for the amazing love that you have. But especially that for one moment, Jesus, where you became an orphan so that we can be sons and daughters. For one moment, you were separated from perfect love so that we could be restored back again to that perfect love. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, the most real person in the room tonight. Who we welcome you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, well, yes.
Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom.
Amen.
And whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise team, thank you. I noticed this morning, somebody might have asked, what about that praise team? I would say I didn't see them. I was too busy praising the one they were so effectively pointing me to. Thank you, praise team. You're great. We didn't mention the books, and we won't, except this is Leif's. It is the heaviest book out there. And must be some significance. It is a great book, Call to Reign, and all of you are. Every one of you is called to reign. Hallelujah. There are other items on the book table. just go. We won't spend any time with them. Just go buy all of them and we'll forget it, okay? Good deal? Comprende? Okay. There are too many invitations and promises of God to miss this fact. He wants you to pray, and he intends to answer. He said, call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things beyond your knowledge. And Jesus prayed and called us to prayer. Listen to John. I want to talk a little bit about this statement. This is the confidence. This is 5:14-15, 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in him. The word is boldness in the original. Call unto me. He said, look, if you'll pray according to my will, I will hear. And if you will believe that I hear, you have what I ask of you. I want to examine that briefly for you. I'll take a little less time, and so will Mr. Karin. But we've come to show you our dear friend, Leif Hetland.
Amen.
I love him a whole lot as a son. He brought Frieda and me together, really. He predicted it and suggested it early. I had already fallen in love again. You're aware that women grieve and men marry. And I lived up to that. And I had lost my second wife in 22 months. And Leif had previously called my secretary and said, what is Jack's status? And I think I know someone that he ought to be with. And she said, well, I'm afraid you're a little late. He's engaged to be married. But we did marry, and she lived 22 months. And I was alone. And longer story, and I'll cut it short, because it is a short story. It doesn't take me long to get to business. And I said to the Lord, time to grieve. I needed to grieve. It was a terrible loss under some tragic circumstances. And I said, okay, God, 40 days, I'm not going to do a thing. My wife and I were on a 94-day cruise, and she was stricken on day 10 and totally paralyzed in a deep coma. And she died. Not there. God did enough healing for us to get her home. And she died in about 10, 12 days. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm alone. Last time I checked with you, you didn't think it's a good thing for man to be alone. I'd be interested in what you're going to do about it. And he said this, and I added the last part because I didn't want you to misunderstand. He said, I'm going to give you the best woman in the world. And what he meant was for you. Now, that's to protect you. Men, look at me. If you don't think what you're living with is the best thing on the planet, you and I need to talk. Okay? And so there she is. And we are happily, happily married. She's from Germany. You need to get her book, From Hitler's Germany to the Cross of Christ and Beyond, the story of a rejected father, an impossible upbringing, and coming to life in Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at it. Everybody, I pray in the house. I intend to get prayed for. I pray that all of you will. And I was determined last year to stay. One night, I remember staying until 11 o'clock. Wasn't much of me left, but I was there, still standing. We'll do it again. We'll pray for you. Don't go away from here without being prayed for. So let me just say this, and then I'm through. He, right now, knows exactly what he wants to give you. He would love to give it and will wait on giving it until you get expectant There is something about having faith in advance. And I was healed of asthma years ago. And the last thing God said, first thing he said is, you must believe that I want to. I'd heard his voice and I said, certainly. Second thing he said, you must believe that I can. I said, well, hallelujah, I believe that. He said, you must believe another thing. You must believe that I will. Oh, I believe you will because you asked me to pray and I figure you'll do what I ask if you hear me ask you what you give me. And he said, you must believe one more thing. This might help you. He said, I want you to believe that I have. Oh, I said, I'll be glad to when you do. He said, that's not the way it works. And then he had me quote a verse I had forgotten. When you ask the Lord for something, believe that you have it and you'll get it. Now that's backwards. So I had asthma that night. I had asthma in the fall, breathed the cold air, and I was wheezing. And I was going to bed after doing some writing. I was writing one of the chapters of the book, Much More. And I was wheezing, and I had this little bottle of asthma nephrine spray in your mouth, about 2 sprays, and you get rest that night. So I swept it off the dresser as I went to bed, and God said, hold it. What are you getting that for? Thought you said you were healed. Well, this is just in case. He said, it doesn't work like that. Praise me for your healing. It didn't make sense to me. I went to bed wheezing. I woke up a dozen times wheezing. I got up the next morning. I have not had asthma in those 40 years since.
Wow.
Some people are going to get their healing.
Amen.
These days. Hear it again. This is the confidence. Say it with me. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we desired of him. Just ask and thank him. Amen?
Amen. Okay. Come on. Yeah. Here, Jack, here's somebody's equipment. We are very eager for you to hear life. So Jack and I are cutting our time short. But this morning, I shared with you the fact that, number one, I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak this week on the subject of anointing. And I read for you about King Saul, whom God chose to be king. And then, without Saul's knowledge, God sent him to the prophet Samuel. Now, you've had similar experiences. What you thought were accidents, circumstances perhaps you didn't like, and all the while it was God leading you. We are quick to judge circumstances because we do not understand them. But in the wisdom of God, he does not always share the details with us. At any rate, Saul, who became King Saul, appeared at the prophet Samuel's village. God had told Samuel 3 days before, I'm sending him. And the prophet was waiting. And so the point came when Samuel took the horn of oil and poured it on Saul's head and then told him this, on his return home, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy, something he had never done before. And Saul, you will be turned into another man. Now this work of the Holy Spirit in turning us into another man or another woman is one of his most beautiful works. Because in spite of our talent, in spite of our good opinions of ourselves, God knows every point of deficiency in us. And the anointing is to move us out of the realm of ordinary humanity and set us into almost an angelic zone. The anointing of the Holy Spirit should be the pursuit of your life. With the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit operating in you, gift of discerning of other spirits, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, that whole conglomerate of them in 1 Corinthians 12, your life will be transformed. You will experience sudden appearances of the Holy Spirit working in you, which you cannot possibly imitate or create for yourself. What we're experiencing in our day is similar to Saul, but so far I had not mentioned to you the fact that Saul failed the anointing. The anointing never failed Saul, but Saul failed the anointing. And because of that, God raised up young King David inside Saul's dominion. And I want you to see in that a prophetic picture of today's church. Saul had the anointing, the kingdom, the power, but lost the anointing. God was determined that his people Israel would have the benefit of the anointing, so he called a young shepherd, David, put the anointing on him, and raised him up inside Saul's kingdom. Now, God did not raise up David in another kingdom separately, but he brought him up inside the kingdom of Saul. And because of that, fierce warfare broke out. Saul was determined to hold to the authority, to the wealth, to the palace, and not give it up to David. We see that right now primarily since 1962, when the Holy Spirit came on an Episcopal priest in Van Nuys, California, Dennis Bennett, who told his congregation that he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and had spoken in tongues. And interestingly, that little bit of news went worldwide. And it was almost immediately after that that we saw the same thing happening in thousands of other men and women and churches. I too, Jack, others, were caught up in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing happened in the church then that happened in the kingdom of Saul. There is competition in the church, and therefore there for a while was fierce warfare and rejection. But the fact is this, and you hear me, God Almighty wants the body of Christ anointed. God Almighty wants you personally to benefit from that anointing. It is the will of the Holy Spirit that you operate in miraculous wisdom. It is the will of the Holy Spirit that you operate in miraculous knowledge, and that you not become a prey to the deceivers in the world, and that your children not become a prey, but that because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you step out of a realm of ordinary living into the power of God. And I will tell you this, if you're not experiencing that, you have not yet arrived. God wants you to to experience miraculous words of knowledge. And what do I mean by that? I mean, you may be driving your automobile somewhere, and the Holy Spirit tell you, take another route. You may be ready to make an investment, and the Holy Spirit say, stop. This is not it. You may be preparing to get married, and the Holy Spirit say, this is not a wise choice. There are so many areas in which we as Christians fall victim to circumstances of the world because we're not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is God's will that you read 1 Corinthians 12. There's 9 miraculous gifts there that benefit every believer who receives them. And they are available to every believer who will. But there's a scare problem. You know what that is? It's called tongues. I was a hardline, hyper-Calvinistic Baptist, and I even told God, Lord, at Pentecost, if you had left tongues out, it would have been so much easier for the people to have accepted it. And I thought that was reasonable and logical. Well, to this day, God has never agreed with me. And I can tell you why. The gift of tongues, which is usually one of the first, in my case it was not the first, but usually one of the first spiritual gifts to manifest, is that the gift of tongues is deliberately designed to attack your ego. It does it. It's embarrassing. If you don't think that, tomorrow at the bank, ask the teller if she prays in tongues, or someone in the grocery line, or ask some other preacher. I became a monster just in virtue of the fact that I believed in the gift of tongues long before I experienced the gift of tongues. Well, why does God do that? Because gift of tongues, while we never lose our carnality, the gift of tongues is a wonderful teacher about our egos and how they compete with the other, with the gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit. And that once we come to peace with God about that, then the other gifts are more free to operate in us. I will tell you this. My life has been so totally changed just by the blessing and the benefit of the word of knowledge. You have no idea how the word of knowledge, the house I'm living in right now in Florida, was a gift to me because of a word of knowledge. And when the Holy Spirit, the house was already sold, there was no way we could have it, we didn't have any money anyway, and my wife told me that, I specifically heard the Holy Spirit say these exact words, you can still have it. You hear that? You can still have it. I didn't ask how or who's going to pay for it. I just heard that. I believed it, and I have lived in it now for 20 years. The word of knowledge. I challenge you tonight, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Leif.
hungry? Amen. What about the rest of you? Are you hungry? I just wanted to show a little video very shortly because it is very much connected to some of the things that I wanted to share. But in that video, the last part of this little girl in the video, she's asking a question. She says, what does the kingdom look like? And then you hear a voice of this father that says, child, I do not know, but all I know, it will only be entrusted to a family. And so I just wanted to put that even as you're watching this video, and I just want to kind of introduce you to some of our spiritual family, and because I do believe that heaven on earth is actually family business and will only be entrusted to family. Let's watch.
To live life in the kingdom of God is the ultimate journey. But no matter how much you've seen, you know deep down there is more. There is a longing in every heart. From the greatest leader to the most humble follower, each one knows they're made for more than this. What if I told you there is a place where who you are and your identity is more valuable than anything you could do? And in that place, your relationships with people and your intimacy with God are the highest priority. What if there was a people who chose to honor the past in a way that made every generation relevant? The young and the old are both valuable to the future. And what if you were running alongside others who cheered you on in God's calling and destiny? Because when you win, we all win. This place does exist. It's here and now. Papa, what does the kingdom look like?
I don't know, child. But what I do know is that it will only be entrusted to a family.
Join your journey with ours, a family of families, changing the world together.
It has been an incredible privilege for me to just actually be with family. And there's been something taking place in my spirit even since I got here, where I'm just sensing I'm becoming alive and I just started to dream with God. As soon as I went to my hotel room, it was almost like an open heaven. And I know it's connected to the open heaven that God has over this place. And part of what I wanted to do, yeah, can we give Jesus a good hand? I believe with all of my heart that the greatest time that the world has ever seen, that there is right now all over the world revival. and there's a revival coming to America.
Amen.
But I want us to see, the next move of God's Spirit will not be a youth revival, but it will be a family revival. And you're going to see that God is restoring the family. It is actually a generational move of God's Spirit. And I know that several prophets have been talking about the 1 billion soul harvest. I don't know if you've heard of that, but there's going to come a major harvest in where over 1 billion new names are about to be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. And I heard very clearly that Papa God a few years ago, he said, "Son, I don't want the 1 billion orphans, but I want the 1 billion sons and daughters." And sometimes we have been praying for the fire while God has been looking for the fireplaces. And so part of my assignment, even just taking a few moments that I have here, is I would like to just create a little bit of language, because being here with Papa Jack and Papa Charles and Mama Frida, and you hear I call them Papa and Mama because that's exactly what they have been to me. And I am from the country of Norway, and I'm going to kind of share with a little bit about my story. But I need your help for the next 8-9 minutes. Actually, I've wrote a book, and I did 12 hours on these three chairs. And now you're going to get it in 15 minutes and 12 seconds. So I hope you believe in creative miracles, because this is going to be a miracle. So help me. This is chair number one. Which chair is this?
One
more time. Chair number one. Very good. This is chair number two. Which chair is this?
Two.
And this is chair number three. Which chair is this?
Three.
Everyone in this room, we're living our life from one of these three perspectives. So everyone in this room, and I'm about to describe a little bit the world to you in a few moments. Chair number one is all about the kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God. Chair number two is about the kingdom of self. Say kingdom of self.
Kingdom of
and
self.
Chair number three is about the kingdom of the world. Say kingdom of the world.
Kingdom of the world.
Every single one in the world, actually, there live 7.5 billion people in the world. We just passed the 7.5 billion. And every single one in the world lived their life in one of these three chairs. With actually the majority of the world's population, and actually the majority of America, they're living their life in chair number three. They are lost. But I wanted to just remind us, we don't have a darkness problem in the world, but lack of light. Could I say that one more time? Actually, we do not have a darkness problem in the world, but lack of light.
Amen.
And so part of what I am interested today, because as we heard so beautifully described, actually we're hearing chair number one being described. If you're living your life in chair number one, it is the Spirit-filled life. Say Spirit-filled life. Right. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. The Bible also says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's also including the daughters. When the Son sets you free, you become free indeed. But then also, whatever you have been set free from, you can set people free from. And let me just say something. You have authority over the area where the serpent has bitten you. So what the enemy meant for evil, God will use this for good. And it's going to lead to an upgrade in your life. So when you're living in chair number one, I'm going to describe this chair to you for just a couple of minutes. This is actually the resting place. It's called the hard work of rest. When you're living in chair number one, the supernatural is actually what's natural. Amen. Yeah. When you're living here in chair number one, you're sons and daughters with a dove. And some of you have heard R.T. Kendall describing in his book the difference between having a dove and pigeons. Yeah. How many of you know the difference between... When you're in chair number one, the dove is there. So you become sons and daughters with a dove. But while you're in chair number two, you are living for God, but you don't know how to live from God. Could I say that one more time? If you're living in chair number two, you are saved. Say the word saved. Same. And you are going to heaven. Say heaven. Heaven. But you just don't know how to get heaven to you. And there's a very big difference you're going to see between being in chair number one and two. And part of what I wanted to do is even as we're describing the language, because my assignment and my heart is for every single one in this room to be a chair number one believer. If you're married, I want you to live a chair number one marriage. And I would like this church to be a chair number one church. What does that mean? It's a kingdom church. It is a family church. It is a church actually that is changing the atmosphere. The temperature around will be affected. Because when you're living here in chair number one, as I say, you're hearing his voice. Say, hear his voice. You're seeing his face. Say, seeing his face. You're feeling his love. Say, feeling his love. You're experiencing his presence. Say, his presence. And you're abiding in his pleasure. Say, his pleasure. Actually, the starting point in chair number one is you have an A+ before you take the exam. And the whole key here, and what I wanted to share, because it is so much connected to some of the things you saw in the video, and most of us, we are probably experienced what I've experienced, that I visit this chair, and I have visitation, and it is amazing. And when you're in chair number one, this chair is all about being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. You're rooted and grounded in love. Hey, you're rooted and grounded in love. You are rooted and grounded in love. Hey. Rooted and grounded in love.
Hey.
Rooted and grounded in love. Hey. Oh, high and deep and wide and long is Papa God's love for me. Hey. That's a good way of learning scripture verses. And if you think I do strange things, just say, he's just a Norwegian. He doesn't know how we're supposed to act here in Texas. But chair number one, the root system and the foundation is love. And how comfortable are you with love is how comfortable you are with God, because God is love. So when you're here in this chair number one, this is an amazing thing, because the next thing that that scripture says, then the fullness dwells in there. Why would you want to live in measure in chair number two when you can live in fullness, chair number one? When you're living in chair number one, you're living from inheritance. But while you're in chair number two, you're living towards inheritance. So there's a big difference between being a chair number one and two believer. And I would spend about 5 minutes just kind of describing a little bit of my life and my journey. I had this glorious experience to actually being born in a great, great country, in a wonderful home. My mom and dad, they love Jesus. And so since I was a little child in Norway, which is very unusual, because only about 7% of our population goes to church. So I'm very grateful for the natural family and also the background that I have. But while I was in my mother's womb, my mom had a surgery, and she didn't know she was pregnant. So when I came into this world, I struggled with fear. I didn't know why I had fear, and there was a root fear in my life. And this became actually the button the enemy used to bring me into chair number two later on. Because chair number two, everything is rooted and it's grounded in fear. The root system of the believers that are living in this life, they're rooted in fear, not rooted in perfect love. So anyway, so what happened was, later on when I was about 12 years old, there was this attack that happened to me, and as a result of that, that led to shame. So now I have both shame and I'm struggling with fear. That led for me to become a prodigal son. And for the next 5 years, got involved in addiction, moved so far away from love as you could get. And what actually it led to was an encounter with Jesus. And I say that was the good news. At the age of 18, I got gloriously saved.
Amen.
I got also gloriously healed, and I got delivered.
Amen.
After 5 years of drugs and being a suicidal drug addict, I met Jesus. And I'm saying this was the good news. The bad news was I went from rebellion to religion. And now, because of everything that God had done for me, now I'm going to live for him. And I didn't realize in the next moment of my life, I started this journey. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to do everything for him. And if I do these right things, then I will have, and then I will become. And I didn't realize there was so much connected to this orphan heart that was still in my life. And I operated more like an orphan than a beloved son. And this is my connection to Papa Jack and Papa Charles. This is how my life was transformed by these men and how God utilized them in my life later on. But the story was that eventually I became a husband, married a good Southern girl. So here I am, a Norwegian Viking marrying a Southerner. Southern Baptist, that's how I ended up as a Baptist. And then eventually we ended up back again in Norway, ended up with four amazing children, and now we have a son-in-law who's African-American. So here you have an Indian and African, excuse me, Indian and a Viking, and hopefully I'm going to have chocolate grandbabies in the future. I love my family. But even during my journey of being a husband and now being a father, and then eventually I ended up as a pastor, went to college and seminary. I started this journey, but deep on the inside, I was looking for long love in the wrong places. And I mentioned this morning just shortly that I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, had an incredible encounter with the anointing of God. In June 6, 1995, it was so amazing when I had this baptism of the Holy Spirit that totally transformed my life.
Amen.
And both the fire and the power of God came upon me. And what happened was I had experiences of visiting chair number one. Before that was not even an alternative. But now I realize there is a chair number one. There is a different way of living and loving, where I actually get to live from love, not towards love. And there's a whole different way of looking at this wall, because when I was in chair number two, if I touch the lepers, I became unclean. While I'm in chair number one, if I touch the lepers, they become clean. For the next 5 years in chair number two, I looked at Islam as a problem. But now I'm in chair number one, Islam became a promise. When I was in chair number two, I saw how big the giant was. Now in chair number one, I see how big God is. And these gifts of the Spirit that Papa Charles talked about started to operate. And it was an amazing journey. I started to hear my Father's voice. But then I went in because I didn't realize there was still that root fear. There was a place where the perfect love had not touched. There was areas I was not comfortable with love. And it went all the way back to a little baby in his mother's womb. And to make this story short, by the year 2000, actually 1999, I had just been given the left foot of fellowship.
Glory.
It hurts. I got kicked out of the Baptist. And then later on, led to major rejection, and now with an orphan heart. When you get the value, your value system is what you are doing. Because if you do, you have. And if you have, that's how you become. But I never did enough. And by the year 2000, I'd seen 500,000 people saved.
Amen.
Been to 54 countries. But constantly, the same anointing that was in the stadium, I didn't know how to have the same anointing at home. I didn't have the same power. And anyway, so in that meeting, I was driving into the southern part of town. And this is around the same place where Frida's home church, where she had an encounter, actually through my ministry in 1999, where she had a baptism of love and power encounter. And this is part of the thing we're going to release tonight, for you to have what Jesus had. He didn't just have the anointing. He was affirmed by the Father, anointed by the Spirit. He had a baptism of power and a baptism of love that just totally changed the world.
Amen.
Then he was led into the wilderness to be tested, and he came out of that wilderness full of the Spirit and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But what I did is I had dove in one moment, and then I lived with pigeons the rest of the week. And pigeon religion is very differently than when the dove is there. So in a moment, I was prophetic in chair number one, but then I lived pathetic. Anointed in chair number one, and then I was annoying the rest of the time. And I didn't realize there was root system in my life that had not been dealt with. Make the story short, Papa Charles and Papa Jack, they decided to have a little son's meeting in a Holiday Inn in Florida. And he says, "Leif, we want you to come and just meet with some of the family." And I was there, and a man named Dennis Jernigan. Have you heard that name? He's one of Papa Jack's sons. He says, "Leif, I want you to come up." And there's a small group of people. And I'm a Norwegian, cold weather, not very comfortable with intimacy. And today I kiss people all over the world.
Amen.
And I jump on people's laps and I do all these wild things. So in this meeting, Dennis has come up, Leif, and he started to play in this meeting at Holiday Inn. And I had just been rejected from the Baptist. I have a worldwide ministry at a time, but now you don't have any support. We're about to lose our home. We're about to lose everything. And I can be honest with you, because when you have an orphan spirit and you have dynamite, you're about to blow up things.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how my marriage and how my family would have been if I had had this incredible encounter, this incredible freedom, this experience that day. Then his journey, when he played, he started to sing Papa's song. It was a father's song. And I knew Jesus, I knew the Holy Spirit, but I just didn't know the Father. I didn't totally trust Papa and Papa God. And today he is my Papa. I wake up in the morning and he say, "Who am I to you today, Leif?" And I say, "You are my Papa." And I say, "Papa, who am I to you, Papa?" He says, "You are my son. You are my beloved son."
Amen.
And I love you. And I am well pleased with you. It's not based upon what you do. It is based upon who you are. Listen, chair number two. It is not what you do that makes you who you are. Chair number one. It is who you are that makes you do what you do. Could I say that one more time? It is not what you do that makes you who you are. It is who you are that makes you do what you do.
Amen.
Free people sets people free.
Amen.
Hurt people hurts people.
Amen.
And when there's this area in our life, it is either going to be religion or rebellion we struggle with in chair number two. And we operate more like an orphanage than family. And God is about to send the greatest harvest ever. And all he's waiting for, healthy family. And so what he's doing is something in our life where we're moving away from being orphans to become beloved sons and daughters. And I didn't even know about this baptism of love until this day. So on this floor, and Papa Jack often says, "I've never seen a man cry that much." And if you realize what was taking place that day, it was like Ephesians 1 4 says, "Even before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I predestined you in love."
Amen.
This love took me back to the beginning, to who I was with him. There was a lot of things that was true, but it was not the truth. And knowing the truth sets you free.
Amen.
And I was looking at the wrong report card. Waking up in the morning often would measure. I got a D or an F. Instead of seeing me the way my papa sees me. And eventually after over 2 hours, these waves of love, they took me back to that little baby. Took me back to that 12-year-old boy. These waves of love wouldn't stop and they just continued through this encounter until eventually there was that voice from heaven, Matthew 3:17. "This is my Leif, you're my. You're not just mine, but you're my beloved." I don't know if I was the only one in the room that heard it, but it was an audible voice. "You're my beloved son." Not servant, not apostle, not doctor. No, "You're my beloved son, daughter."
Amen.
daughter. "I love you, and I am well pleased with you." Mm. Something broke that day when I heard the pleasure of my father. My father is well pleased with me. From that moment, my life was changed. The way I was seeing the world, the way I was seeing my wife, the way I was seeing my children, everything started. I was saying started. It was a journey. It's been a process. And I'm still on a journey. But when I'm in chair number two, and I've been there, even on my way here. But what I do is I repent. I go back in the penthouse where I belong. Repent. Why live here in the basement? Being overwhelmed by fear when you can come here and live and being overwhelmed by love. And whatever overwhelms you shapes you. Whatever you're beholding, you're becoming. And what you become, you release. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. But be careful, this kind of a thinking can lead to dancing. And another warning, you can become a joyful Christian. And maybe the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So my simple invitation tonight, and I know this is a very short, but come home. There's fullness in my father's house. There's all these amazing gifts he has. And he doesn't want us to be in bondage. And part of the part of the problem that we have is that this was my worldview. What I thought about because of my worldview and my theology. One of the reasons it was so hard for me to get to chair number one is when I sinned and did something wrong. I believe that Papa had turned away from me. And that was all up to me. I had to be clean to take a bath. Meaning I have to do all these right things again to try to get intimacy and connection. But what I realize is my sin, what's actually happening, I'm the one that is turning away from love. And as soon as I don't feel a connection, the first thing I do is repent. And then getting back into his presence.
Amen.
And living in this. And when I realizing that he is there with an open heart, he is looking. He's full of compassion. He is running. And he doesn't just have a robe, but he also have a ring. The robe gets you to heaven, but a ring brings heaven to you. The identity, the intimacy, the inheritance, and then the destiny, the calling for each one of us. So, congratulations, your upgrade is confirmed. You no longer have to go. You maybe visited chair number two, but you don't have to live there. This is the new visitation, and this is the new habitation.
Amen.
We don't need to have visitation here. We have habitation here.
Amen.
And the sensitivity of the dove, sons and daughters, with a dove. Who do you say that I am? Anointed son, anointed daughter, that's who you are. And upon this rock, he's going to build a church. The gates of hell will not prevail against.
Amen.
Upon the identity of anointed sons and daughters.
Amen.
And from this very thing, we're going to change this environment. Because our environment has changed. Here we check the temperature. Here we are thermostats. And I'm so excited. How many here would like to get rid of chair number two in your life? No more fear. And I felt there are several things. If we can get the worship team and we're going to minister. Are you okay?
Amen.
How many here would like to have an orphanectomy tonight? In John 14, 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And Jesus, as he came with one thing, to bring his family back, to show us how good Papa God is and how loved each one of us are. And part of what I wanted to see, and it's so good, I see my friend Rodney here that is helping so many people, and he's part of this family, helping people to freedom. And my assignment today is to give you a super glue so you get stuck in this chair. And release an allergic reaction every time you're in chair number two. Because who Jesus is to you is who he will be through you. Seeing his face, hearing his voice, feeling his love, experiencing his presence, abiding in his pleasure. And I let that the dove, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not just in me, Amen. But upon me. And Amen. He has anointed me. You got bad news? I got good news. Somebody just told me, it's getting dark in America. I said, wow, I'm so excited. I'm in the light business. My stock just went up. Every time there is darkness, wow, my stock goes up. And I'm in the good news business with all this bad news. And the gospel is the good news. And that's what I get to represent. Well, we have these healthcare problems. And I say, I'm in the healing ministry. I'm going to invest in healing rooms everywhere. Drive-by healings. Why not? Let's stand to our feet. I don't know how it is for you, but is there anyone in this room that could need a fresh baptism of love? This is not, it's like the filling of the Spirit. And anybody here, also when we're here, when I'm seeing tears in the eyes of my fathers, we just sat with Papa Jack and Papa Charles in my hotel room right before the meeting, and we were praying, and It does something for me to have two fathers like this that's just saying, we need more. We're hungry for more. I see the tears in the eyes. We want more. I heard the same of Tim describing before the meeting, there is more. And I just, even as we are just, there's a father, there's a papa, there's Jesus, there's a family. But there is something called a baptism of love. D.L. Moody had it. Charles Finney had it. Even when he's coming on a train from a 1 mile distance, people were just getting touched by this incredible, this tsunami wave of love that was touching. It's healing. It's healing our marriages. It's healing the land. The world is going to see who we are. America's going to see who we are. Abilene is going to see who we are by the way we love one another. And we're going to have a fresh encounter with his love tonight. And then the power, the fire is going to touch. Whoa! That fuel of love so that you're going to burn brightly but never burn out. Because you're burning oil of intimacy with your lover. Rise and shine, for your light has come.
Whoa. Amen. Amen.
So, Father, I just release all over. Let's just hold our hands. And I'm just also sensing that if you're sensing specifically, I've been struggling with shame, and I felt that was one of the things what the enemy do is shame. What shame does is tell you who you are not instead of who you are. What shame does is we compete with one another. What love does, we complete one another. And I also saw anyone struggle with regrets from the past, you're going to get healed. And also the fear of the future, he's going to heal it. Because you're going to learn to experience in the now moment. Now is the time to get healed. Now is the time to be filled. Now is the time to experience him, the very goodness and the kindness and the homecoming of your Father. So as we're worshiping, I want you just to come and respond. And you don't have to come up here, but we're going to just create an environment. And I know that some of the papas that are here and other ones of the ministry team, we're going to minister. And I want also to release over people. Some of you are just going to get the look. Somebody just maybe need a sloppy wet kiss. It's going to be good for you. But you're going to experience the freedom. Freely I've received something, freely I give. And what I've received, I want to give it away. I don't want other people to receive it. So that they can receive, become, and release. Receive, become, release. Receive, become, release. You receive his love, you become love, and then you start to live. You receive his power, and you're becoming powerful. And you start to release and manifest his power. So, Father, just come. Whew, there it is here. And I just want to ask your forgiveness. I'm just even sensing now for anyone that has misrepresented love to you. I want to ask forgiveness. Some of you perhaps didn't have a father or a mother. Some have fathers that was distant or abusive or critical, and as a result, you've been afraid of Papa God. And I want you to know that the Father looks just like Jesus. Jesus came to show us how the Father is like. And I want you to know any view you have had of God that does not look like Jesus, tonight he's going to heal it. Because it's going to be the safest place that you can come to. He's not turned away from you. He's turning towards you. And I want you just to make this declaration with me. I want you to say I. Let's say it again. Say I. Say, I am. I am his. I am Papa's. I'm his beloved. I'm his beloved. I'm his beloved son or daughter. Say, my Papa loves me. He likes me. He delights in me. I'm his. I just want to encourage you just to come up front here as we are resting and receiving. I just felt that the upgrade tonight, we're not going to just have visitation of the anointing and then go back to chair two. We're going to have habitation. And we're just going to experience it.